And we bring in our old buddy, Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Buchholz. Andrew, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today, my friend?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me, Mark.
Oh, thanks for taking some time. I haven't had a chance to chat CFL on the air in a few weeks. So I kind of want to go talk about the offseason in general. We're not going to talk about Chris Jones taking his talents to Regina, but in my opinion, that kind of led to the CFL's new anti-tampering policy. So, Andrew, how do you think Jeffrey Orange is handling the quote-unquote tampering problem, and what do you think of the new policy?
I don't particularly like it. I understand why they did it. Essentially, Jeffrey Orange has made it much more regimented how coaches can move between teams now. It's much more explicit that there needs to be permission from the team the coach is currently under contract with, and that there needs to be, if there's going to be compensation, that needs to be decided before the interview actually happens. And I don't particularly like this. I think it's a laudable goal, and I understand why they did it, because of all the kerfuffle that's come up with compensation demands and with tampering charges and so on. But I think the end result of this is going to be that we're going to see less movement of under-contract coaches from one team to another, and I think that that movement is desirable when it comes to moving for a better, higher-paying job, because that's how you get the most qualified and the best candidates. The problem with this policy is if teams are now, this is really enabling teams to demand compensation for taking their under-contract coordinators and making them head coaches. And I think in a lot of cases, teams are going to say, well, no, we're not going to give up draft picks. We're not going to give up money to hire somebody who's under contract from another team, we'll just promote whoever we already have in-house. I think that's going to be a problematic end result, because we won't wind up with the best head coaches and the best coordinators.
Andrew, I said we weren't going to talk about Chris Jones and his jump to Saskatchewan, or not, but we're going to talk about the team that he is joining. They've re-signed Rob Bagg earlier today. Mm-hmm. What do you expect from the Riders? We've seen teams have turnarounds very quickly before in the CFL, but what can you expect from the Saskatchewan Roughriders in 2016?
Well, I think it's going to be a very different Saskatchewan Roughriders team, and we've already seen that with the release of popular guys like Weston Dressler and John Chick, who have both landed elsewhere in the league. Them bringing back Rob Bagg, it does give them a little continuity, but I think it is going to be a drastically different group. And we saw that with some of Chris Jones' tenure in Edmonton. He liked to make a lot of changes and get guys who specifically fit his schemes. I think we're going to see it in Regina. I think it's interesting to see Sean Lemon pop up there and give them a bit more of a pass rush. And so I think in a lot of ways, it may be similar to what we saw in 2014 with the Hamilton Tiger Cats in Kent Austin's first year there, and just the incredible amount of turnover he had after a season where they already went to the Grey Cup. That was the offseason where he really put his stamp on that team and on that roster, and he was a head coach and general manager as well. So I think something similar to that is what we're likely to see from Chris Jones. Now that he has a full general manager's powers, which he didn't have in Edmonton with Ed Hervey doing that role, I think we're really going to see Chris Jones build a roster much more in his image, in line with what he wants to do from a schematic point of view, especially on defense. And I think it's going to be a lot of turnover. And if it's anything like what happened in Hamilton in 2014, I think there may be a bit of a slow start for the Rough Riders as they get used to that. But also, that team did very well in the end and managed to make it to the Grey Cup. So success certainly isn't unimaginable.
Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo Sports joins us talking CFL. You mentioned the Hamilton Tiger Cats and Ken Austin. Austin signed former Saskatchewan Roughrider John Chick, one of his former players. Mm-hmm. Will Chick have success with the Hamilton Tiger Cats?
I think he will. I think one of the concerns with Chick, and one of the reasons that the Riders let him go, is he is getting older. He does have a lot of mileage on him from playing both in the CFL and in the NFL. But I think he's a guy who can still contribute at a pretty good level in this league. And Kent Austin obviously agrees with that. The CFL, in my mind, is one league where age isn't always as big of a deal as it is in the NFL, because this game really is much more about experience. And I think that can particularly be useful for defensive linemen like Chick, because they're used to lining up a full yard yard off the ball. They're used to a pass-focused game. They're used to the offensive linemen they're going up against and their various tendencies and so on. And so I think there is an advantage to having a veteran guy like Chick instead of necessarily just going out and getting some hot young rookie.
Andrew, I want to focus now on the Edmonton Eskimos. They, of course, won the Grey Cup in November, but they've had quite the turnover. Before we get to some of the additions off the field, Jason Moss, in your opinion, was that the right hire for Ed Hervey as the new head coach of the team?
I think so. And the Jason Moss situation really shows to me why I think that tampering rule is problematic, in that Jason Moss, he was an incredibly promising coordinator. And he, under these new rules, I think it will be much harder for a team to go and say, yeah, we're going to make a serious run at this guy. Now, the risk with Jason Moss is that he doesn't have a huge sample size as a coordinator. He really only did it this year in Ottawa. So we don't have a full sense of how much of that was him and how much of that was about the player improvements they made. But what Ottawa did this year was certainly remarkable. The offense Moss ran was certainly a huge part of that. And it looks like he's put a pretty good staff together in Edmonton, too. I very much like the addition of Mike Benavides. I think it's great to see him back in the CFL, and he is a really good defensive mind. So I think that really will help offset one of Moss's biggest weaknesses, is that he doesn't have a lot of coaching experience and he doesn't have a lot of defensive experience. So I think having him in the fold really helps make the Moss hire look even better and makes that look like a pretty good coaching staff overall.
I was really impressed with the work that Ed Hervey's done as GM of the Eskimos since he joined the organization. And, you know, when Chris Jones left Edmonton, some Eskimo fans, were saying that, oh, Chris Jones was the one that built this team. And I wanted to disagree with them. I think Ed Hervey did some really good work. Who's more responsible for the Eskimos winning the 2014 Grey Cup? Or 2015 Grey Cup, excuse me. Is it Jones or is it Hervey? Because I believe it's Hervey.
Yeah, I think I would agree with you, and I really don't know why Ed Hervey didn't get anywhere near the credit that Chris Jones did for that Edmonton team. Obviously, the coaching is important, and the scheme that Chris Jones brought was important, and I think Chris Jones did a great job of maximizing the guys he had, but Ed Hervey is the guy who brought those guys in and really focused on finding guys who would fit with what Chris Jones wanted to do. So I think Ed Hervey deserves a lot more credit than he has received from a lot of people. And I think part of why maybe he hasn't got that is that the first year of Hervey's tenure as general manager wasn't really all that impressive. And there were some big, prominent missteps, especially with the media, especially with him throwing guys like Simeon Rothier under the bus. I think Ed Hervey has learned from those mistakes a bit. He's still certainly not perfect in dealing with the media. He's still certainly not perfect in sending the right messages and talking about decisions at the right time and so on. But I think he has definitely improved as a general manager. And I think he's at a level now where he's been able to build a very good roster. And that was a huge part of Edmonton's Grey Cup victory.
Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo Sports joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Andrew Buchholz. He writes for Yahoo Sports, the 55-yard line blog. The Eskimos today announced contract extensions for Mathieu Boulay as well as Mike Miller. What else does Ed Hervey need to do this offseason?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is going to be signing guys we don't know about yet. And that's always a key for CFL teams, is it's finding those guys from the free agency camps who don't necessarily have a huge reputation and aren't even necessarily all that well-known to those who avidly follow college football. But that's where you get guys like Darrell Walker, who won Rookie of the Year this year. He came in from a free agent tryout camp. He paid to be there. And Ed Hervey and the Eskimos scouting staff were able to pick him from amongst all the people that did that and the huge numbers of guys they look at and are like, yeah, this guy has the potential to become an impact player in the CFL. I think that is going to be the key focus for Ed Hervey and for the scouting staff, is not so much necessarily making huge splashes in free agency and signing guys who CFL fans already know. It's finding the guys nobody knows yet who can make an impact.
Andrew, if you're a CFL GM, free agency opens on February 9th. Who is the biggest, brightest, shiniest toy out there in free agency? You mentioned Ted Laron likely going to the Riders, but if you're a GM, who's the flashiest package out there?
Well, I think Laurent is certainly a key guy. He's interesting because he plays defensive tackle so well, and he's Canadian, so that gives you a big opportunity to change your ratio. But I think the shiniest one has to be Andrew Harris. With the retirement of John Cornish, with the uncertainty about what Jerome Messam is doing next, Andrew Harris is a top Canadian running back in this league. He's a guy who gives you a ton of options offensively because he's both good carrying the ball and catching passes out of the backfield. And he may well wind up in Winnipeg, but I think there may be other teams making a play for him as well, because it can be so valuable to have a guy with that skill set who also helps you change your ratio.
Just a couple more ones for Andrew. I appreciate your time. The CFL West had quite the coaching carousel. Who'd have thought that the Bombers would be the only team to return their head coach? But looking at some of the new faces, we have Dave Dickinson in Calgary. Which new head coach, and let's take Chris Jones out of the equation because the Riders were so bad and they won't be that bad again, but which new coach, not just in the West, but all across the CFL, do you think will have the biggest impact on their team in the upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's going to be tough to quantify. I think there are a couple of guys who are very well set up for success. I think Jason Moss in Edmonton is very well set up for success, given how strong that roster is. And I think Dave Dickinson in Calgary may have the smoothest transition, just because he's worked with that team for the last several years as the offensive coordinator. He's already very familiar with what they're doing, and he is a great roster coming back, too. So to me, it's not necessarily going to be a huge change from where those teams were, but I think that both of those teams will be set up for their new head coaches to find substantial success.
And lastly for you, Andrew, appreciate your time. Weston Dressler is a member of the Bombers. It's on the other side. It's like going Yankees to Red Sox, Flames to the Edmonton Oilers. Is there anything left in the tank for Weston Dressler? Can he still be an impact receiver for the Bombers?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, Dressler is only 30. He's turning 31 later this year. I think he's a very valuable player. He's a guy with great hands. He's a guy who does very well on running those routes over the middle and making catches in tough coverage, making catches and taking contact and all that. I think he has some more mileage left in the tank. It's going to be interesting to see just how well he does
Hello.
In Winnipeg. I think some of the Riders' decision to move on from him was just about that cap number. So I think there's
Tony
no
Danza.
Dispute
I'm
that
the
he
boss.
Can still play. The question is if he can still really be at, say, the league all-star level. I think he's got a chance of that, but we'll have to wait and see.
Andrew, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for taking a few minutes. Enjoy the rest of the offseason. It's hard. Training camp's almost just right around the corner, man. I love it.
Absolutely, yeah. It's going to be a fascinating rest of the offseason. Thanks for having me.
Andrew Buchholz from Yahoo Sports.